want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
We are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
Your home for healthy masculinity. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
Yo,
we really should get some sound effects.
We should get some sound effects. We need to up our budget.
Some real sound effects, I'm thinking.
Hey, I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And sound effects guy is Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations.
This is
gonna be an F episode. This episode is sponsored by the letter F.
Yeah. We're pushing the boundaries on this one, man. I got some advice for you, JBK.
What's that?
Man to man, I got some advice for you, man.
Let me have it.
F your feelings, man.
Mm-hmm. What about, but.
No, that's right. Forget your feelings.
Forget them.
Yeah. See, we got FCC radio here. Of course, we do our thing on YouTube and Facebook, but we got to keep it clean when we do our radio show here.
So what you're saying is, forget your feelings.
Forget your feelings, man.
I got you.
I'm gonna stop teasing it because I might mess around. Yeah, for real. Forget your feelings, man. As men, you know, I don't know, man. In this world, we gotta. It's a balance, man. It's a thin line. I think a thin line between feelings and reality. And you know, unfortunately, fortunately, whatever you want to call it, you know, manhood sometimes doesn't involve leaning too much into your feelings.
Yeah. I mean, and if you guys are a fan of the show and you watched our last episode and you're like, okay, they were just talking about vulnerability and now they're like, F your feelings. And you might think that doesn't go together, but it really does, because the whole point of the vulnerability was dig down into those feelings, those things that are running you, and know why they're running you and get a handle on them. Because when it comes to being a man, much of what we need to accomplish in the world, it goes beyond how we feel. You know, you work all day, you're out there slaying dragons, you're bringing home that check, and then the kids need to go to baseball practice. You know, you need to take them to the emergency room, something else, and you don't feel like doing it, but you're going to do it because that's what a man does.
Yeah, and this is not, let me clear this up right up front. And by the way, we'd love to know what you think. You agree? You disagree? What's your take on this whole thing? You know, put it in the comments if we're live, we'll see it live, we'll make you famous. If not, we'll reply later on. But in any case, right up front, I'm not talking about ignoring the fact that you have feelings, or I'm not saying men can't have emotion, or men can't have, you know, that side of us where we're open and sensitive to the world around us. I guess where I'm going is we can't let our feelings dictate who we are and what we do.
No, I mean, that's why this is kind of coming full circle, because if you watched the last episode on vulnerability, we were like, you need to be vulnerable enough and honest enough to know yourself, know what's running your life, because when you don't know who you are, you don't know what's running your life, you don't know what these feelings mean, then they are going to take over. But when you get to that point where you know what's going on, you know what the stories are in your head, then you turn around and go, okay, now I know what's running me, now I can control that. If it's not effective, if it's not helping me run my life, if it's not helping me reach my goals, now I can curtail that or put a block on it or put a stop to that and say, okay, I may not feel like doing this, or I may be feeling this, such a way, but that doesn't mean it's going to stop me from doing what I need to do to provide and to be a man and to successfully achieve all the goals and that purpose and that passion and that path of life that I've chosen to move on.
As we do a lot of times, we're going to contrast this with the feminine. At some point here,
during, this, canceled, you know, again?
During one of our little segments. Yeah, we're trying our best to get canceled. We were trying real hard, man, but, you know.
I guess we ain't big enough yet.
Yeah, but, I mean, at some point, we'll get the right person and they'll try to cancel us for pushing the boundaries. But yeah, so at some point, we'll contrast the masculine and the feminine in this whole thing. And so I guess, you know, in the endeavor to sometimes speak for men and sometimes speak to men. You know, I think right now the speaking to men is, guess what, man? We are not going to feel like a lot of stuff. You know, we are not going to, and that's just a human experience. You don't necessarily feel like waking up every day at whatever time that alarm clock goes off. You don't feel like working out. You don't feel like going to work. You don't feel like, you know, serving the world around you. You don't feel like trying to make a difference. I mean, I can go on and on. You don't feel like being in that relationship. Uh-huh. You don't feel like dealing with her. I don't feel like dealing with her today, man. I ain't got time for all this, man. I just want a regular, normal day. And so, you know, a lot of times we don't feel like things, but as men, you know, we have to be able to separate our feelings from our duty, our feelings from our calling. We got to be able to separate our feelings from that thing that we are meant to do, that thing that needs to be done in that moment. That's the only way we're going to end up being structured to the world around us. And the world needs some masculine men that don't work off of feelings, how I feel today, but work more off of what I'm supposed to do, duty, calling, purpose, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, and if you are a guy out there, and I have met a lot of them, I have been one of them. If you are struggling with your feelings running your life, if you're struggling with structure and purpose and getting things done in that to-do list, probably your feelings are running your life too much. So you probably need more structure, more discipline, and a lot of times you need other dudes to be in that war with you, going shoulder to shoulder, who are going to keep you up when you're like, man, I don't feel like it today. Suck it up. Let's go. It's time to hit the gym. You said you want to do this. You say you want to do 75 hard. You want to drop 50 pounds. You want to get six pack abs or just flatten that stomach and, you know, drop three pant sizes. It's going to take work and you're not going to feel like doing it 99% of the time. So having a structure around you, guys with you to work with you. And sometimes it takes you just going, you know what? I need help. And that's the biggest step. That's why when we talked on the vulnerability episode about knowing yourself and knowing what stories run you and why you think of the way you do, when you understand those things, then you can curtail them. You can create a new story. You can create new neural pathways in your brain and go, okay, that was my old story. My old story is like, I can't do it. Or I don't have the motivation. I'm not X, Y, or Z. Now I know that's an old story. That's not true. What I'm making true now is that I will do it and I will ask for help and I will ask for support, because not asking for support leads me back down that road of not doing and being run by my feelings and my emotions versus accomplishing all of the goals and tasks that I want to do for myself, because I am worth it.
There's some pretty clear ways to know if your feelings dictate you. If your feelings run your life, there's some clear signs. There's some places you can go, some check-ins, if you will. There's some check engine lights in your life in terms of how much do my feelings control my life.
Be gentle.
And I got three W's for you.
Uh-oh.
Three W's you can check in on. These are where you can go right here to determine how much feelings dictate your life. Your waist, your waistline, your wallet is number two, and your wife.
Ooh.
Metaphorically speaking, your physical health, your financial health, and your relational health will tell you whether or not feelings dictate your life. Because if feelings dictate your life, and to what degree? Because if feelings dictate your life, you're going to be, you know, fat and sloppy, been there, done that, and, you know, struggle with that on a daily basis. You don't take care of your health. If your feelings run your life, then you don't care about your money and you just spend it just to make yourself feel good. And so you're driven by the feel goods. And in that way, you probably are on the fringes, if not foot, knee, ankle, neck deep in some kind of addiction, because your feelings dictate things. And then, you know, and then last but not least, your relationships. Do you feel like it? You know, do you feel like serving your household? You feel like serving the people around you, you know, and I say wife because it's a W and it's literal, but I'm talking about, like I said, just the relationships in your life. Do I feel like it? Because in order to have healthy relationships, you got to feel like effort. You got to feel like, well, you have to do the things that you may not feel like doing, like putting in effort, like writing a note to somebody special, like making the car trip to go hang out with the fellas or to make the concerted effort or whatever. And so those three areas are how you can determine whether or not feelings or how much feelings dictate your life, your physical health, your financial health, your relationship health, your waistline, your wallet, and your wife.
And how many of y'all are got three flat tires on your tricycle, on your W tricycle with all of those? Or do you have one big tire? Maybe your physical is okay, but your financials and your relationships are messed up and all wonky. Something to look at. And of course, we're not saying you got to be perfect. This is a day-to-day awareness, because we're all going to slip. But when you've done the work, when you have support around you, you have other guys around you that can, you can bounce things off of, they can go, no, I got you. Yeah, I see you in the fields today. I see you're struggling with this today. And, you know, being out in the world today as a man, we are going to feel. I mean, we men need to just acknowledge the fact that we do have feelings and we are sensitive. We may be sensitive and have feelings in a different way than the ladies in our life or that we're aware of, but we still have those things. And it's up to us and we're incumbent upon us to be larger and bigger than our feelings and create that structure. And if we don't create the structure for ourselves, we can't create the structure for our family, for our finances, for even our waist and, you know, our physical health. So it's up to us to be that structure.
Yeah, it's an ongoing journey. I mean, and it's an ongoing journey in all of those areas of your life. How can I, and to be totally honest, if you want to be what is considered, or what could be considered a high value man, quote unquote, you know, well, what is it? How do we measure that? Those are some pretty good areas to start in. You know, are you able to maintain discipline in those areas of your life, in the physical areas of your life, in the financial areas of your life, in the relationship areas of your life? And how well are you able to do that? That's a great place to start. And again, no judgment, because I can't tell you last time I've seen six-pack abs in my stomach. You know, and I don't have all of the deep financial security that I would like to have. I think that I have pretty good relationship health in my life. And so it's an ongoing process day to day of how can I improve that? And that's kind of the heart of this show, really, is how as men can we up our game in all of those areas so that we can be high value, not high value to get a woman. That's so cheap, man. That is so like low. I'm talking about high value for your legacy, for your purpose, like, you know, for the reason why you're here. There are 40 million sperm that was going after the same egg when you were conceived. And somehow you made it and you're here. So why? And so the high value goes way beyond, you know, who can be on your arm and who's in your Facebook storyline. No, the high value is what, you know, when you move about in this community, in the world around you, do you mean anything? Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? That's about being a high value man. We need to be more thermostats and less thermometers. And so all of this is just about, man, if I can be more disciplined in all those areas, in other words, if I can turn down the volume on my feelings, turn up the volume on my discipline and my purpose and my focus and my intention, then all of a sudden over some period of time, maybe it's even a lifetime, then my value as a man goes up and up and up to the world around me.
Yeah. And for a lot of you guys right now, you're going, okay, I got three flat tires. I got none of those. My physical, my financial, and my relational are all flat. I don't know what to do with myself. Pick one. And for most of us guys, the best one to pick initially is physical. Find a group, get your hormones straight, get back in the gym. Once you start feeling better and getting your energy back, then the financial will start taking care of itself. Then your relationships will start taking care of themselves. But you're doing it for you. And that's the thing. And that's to Kirk's point. Don't do it to be a high value man for a high value woman. Do it to be a high value man because you deserve to be a high value man, and allow the other things to kind of take care of themselves. Once you start with this, going down this path, all of those little bricks will kind of fall into place, but you got to pick one. And for us guys, physical is the easiest. A lot of us will ignore the physical for the financial, and then we end up fat and dead with a lot of money, but no happiness. So work on your physical first. And speaking of working on physical, we got to physically take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Got to pay for the physicals. Anyway, Mad Men of Masculinity on KLDC. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just sing pay for the physicals?
I think you did.
What the hell?
I don't know, man. I don't know if that stuff you'd be smoking.
It's that alpha brain, man. I get the nootropics going on, and all of a sudden my brain just starts firing, and I don't even know what I'm saying.
Alpha brain. Is that the Joe Rogan?
Yeah. I keep trying to get you up on that, but you don't be trusting me.
I know, man.
All right, brain's back.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
We are the Mad Men of Masculinity on KLDC 1220 AM in the Mile High City. We are on the interwebs everywhere, Facebook, YouTube, all the podcast platforms, you name it. You can find us out there. Look up your boys. Holler at us, man. Tell us, you know, stop shacking up. You know, I mean, commit to this relationship. I mean, hit the subscribe button, man. You know, like or something like that. Share, holler at us. Let nothing else is, again, I agree with y'all. I don't agree with you. You're crazy. You're stupid. You're ugly. Whatever. I mean, you
sound like your last relationship.
Or kind of sounds like a whole but yeah, so we're talking about the F your feelings, man.
Forget your feelings. I almost said it. It just wanted to come out. It almost came out.
Cuss like a sailor sometimes, man. Yeah. I've been a sailor, man. The sailors don't really cuss more than anybody else.
No, it's the rest of us.
We you know, like cuss a lot. Marines cuss a lot.
Yeah.
Marines, they just, I don't know, they just,
I don't know.
It's
we,
like they got a quote on
how they cuss. We cuss a lot in the Air Force. I think it's because the jet noise, you know,
brings it down. Got nothing to do.
just because we send the officers off to fight, we stay home with
pretty much. I think Marines cuss the most.
Probably.
If you're a Marine, don't cuss.
At Army's a close second. I'm pretty sure.
What branch do you think cusses the most? Ooh. I don't know. Let us know. Put it in the comments.
We'll find out.
Put it in the comments.
Speaking of that, and this is one of the things, you know, talking about the layers of feelings and letting your feelings run your life. I mean, you talk about the branches. I guarantee you, probably the Marines. You know, they have their feelings a lot more than every other branch because they're first in, last out, and that's what they're trained to do.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe comment on that.
I don't know.
Because it's the Air Force guys, we're all about the feels.
Feelings. That's right. Now you can make fun of the Space Force. now y'all got somebody you can even make fun of.
Right.
We'll make fun of the Space Force dudes.
We shall see.
I don't know.
I'm waiting for the spaceships, man. I want to take one up.
I wonder if the Space Force do they cuss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Feelings, man.
They probably cuss in code.
They probably do. They probably cuss in binary. Ones, zeros.
Feelings.
But, I mean, and again, you know, we're talking about feelings. We're talking about how specifically us as men, you know, we can't be hooked and locked into our feelings to dictate who we are and what we do, because you're just not going to feel like doing. Matter of fact, I would venture to say, most of the stuff you need to do, you know, you don't feel like doing.
Nope.
If you think about all the things you need to do, you don't feel like right now. I forgot to pay my HOA fees. Like, and I mean, it just dawned on me the other day, like, man, I never paid my HOA fees. And so I got to go in and pay that thing online. And I don't feel like it, but I got to do it because I'm, you know what, they probably already hit me with late fees. But either way, you know, I mean, paying bills, nobody feels like paying bills. You know, there are probably people that feel like going to the gym, but they've probably been going to the gym a long time. There's probably a day they didn't feel like going to the gym. Not many people feel like waking up early in the morning.
So we do.
Again, you can go on and on and on, but I would venture to say most of the stuff you need to do, you don't feel like doing 90% of the time.
Yeah, we talked about the three W's, and we talked about, you know, your waist, your physicals before the last break. Let's talk about the wallet now.
Ooh.
How much of our feels gets in the way of our earning?
Ooh.
I know for me, like, one of the reasons probably I'm not as more successful is because of, like, what it feels like to make calls, what it feels like to do sales, what it feels like to get sponsorship and to get advertisers, what it feels like, because it's uncomfortable. All of those conversations are uncomfortable because you don't know where they're going to, how they're going to respond. You don't know what kind of mood they're in, what their day's like. And you might be stepping into a bear trap. You have no idea, but you got to do it anyway, even though you don't feel like it. And especially for us guys, a lot of what we don't feel like is what makes us men, what leads us to that purpose and that passion and that success in the long run. So that's why we say, get control of those feels, use them for ammunition, use them for, you want to get, and what was it? I think it's, Tony Robbins talked about, you want to be pulled to your passion. You don't want to push to your passion. Pushing takes too much work. You know, when they say pull or push when it comes to a heavy load, you want to pull it. You want to be pulled. And so using your feelings, sometimes using your feelings towards your purpose and your passion can pull you towards that. When you have a good why, when you have a good reason, when you have a good goal, something that's bigger than you are, that scares you, that something like, if I get that, that's going to blow my mind and change my life. That's a goal that will pull you towards it and help you to use those feelings, those anxieties, those fears as fuel to get you in that direction.
And I'll also venture to say that the things that have screwed up your life the most, the biggest mistakes you made, were because you followed your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to say you followed your feelings. You did something that wanted to feel good, And so, you know, you made that booty call because it felt good. You know, you picked up your cell phone and scrolled through that website again because it felt good. You downed a handle of Jack because it felt good, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, keep going. But so I would even venture to say that, you know, that that a lot of the biggest mistakes that we as men make is because in a moment we followed our feelings.
Yeah.
And we made some kind of huge error, some kind of whatever, and we didn't do what we should have done because we followed our feelings.
Yeah, and this is another reason why I think we have so many nice guys and why, I mean, ladies, you did the best job you could raising, your, you know, being single moms, raising boys, but you're not men. And ladies don't necessarily know how to embrace the suck. You got to learn how to embrace the suck as a man. You got to learn how to embrace that this is going to suck. I'm doing it anyway, because there is a pride and energy that comes from doing something even when you don't want to. When you accomplish a goal that you didn't want to do, I don't want to mow the lawn. It's 100 degrees out. But you do it. Then you sit there with that glass of iced tea or lemonade, and you're like, man, look what I did. I don't want to get up and go to work to feed my family, but I did. Now I feel like the man. These are the things we're talking about. It's like, understand your feelings and use them as motivation. Embrace the suck, because when it's too easy, you don't get any joy out of it. The results just don't mean as much when you just are handed things. And that's one of the things I've noticed looking at a lot of these successful people. Once they get all the stuff they wanted, then it's kind of like, well, now what? That didn't make me happy. So they got to find a new adventure. They got to find a new challenge. So find a challenge. You don't have to be all about being the best, you know, whatever. You don't need to be a billionaire, millionaire, whatever. We talk about all this. Find out what's the best version of you that you want to be and go in that direction and embrace the suck, because it's going to suck.
So I'm going there. Here it comes. Everybody get your cancel button ready.
Okay. I got my finger on the red button.
Yeah. Get your thumb on the cancel button. It just hit me that, man, part of the world of being masculine is embracing the suck.
Yep.
And I think.
This Which is a very why. Masculine statement, by the way.
I think that this is why women get disgruntled when they have to take on masculine roles. Because when they take on masculine roles, they don't get to escape the suck. They have to embrace, they have to deal with, they aren't good at embracing the suck. They aren't as good as men are at embracing the suck. Not that all men are good at that. But women really aren't good at it. Women really hate embracing this suck. So when they got to get out there and mow the lawn, when they got to pump the gas, when they got to kill the spider, when they got to work and pay the bills and raise the kids, when they got to be quote unquote mom and dad, which is doo doo in my opinion. But when they got to do all that, they hate it and they hate it and hate it and hate it. And they don't realize that they're being forced to embrace the suck. And some of that is by choice, because they I don't need no man. Really? Do you like embracing the suck? Because men are better at it. And if you had a good man in your life, he would embrace some suck that you don't want to embrace. He would do some stuff that you don't want to do. But I think, you know, I think the part of that masculine journey is exactly what you said, being able to, or not even being able to, but having to embrace the suck, meaning, man, okay, I just got to do it and I got to shut up and I got to like it. When women do stuff that they don't like to do, when women don't get to embrace and suck, man, they complain. Mm-hmm. I mean, they complain or they get locked down and shut down emotionally. And they completely abandon and amputate that feminine part of who they are, because that feminine part of who they are is the part that's complaining about the suck that the masculine part of who they are has to do. And so they decide to abort and to hit the eject button, the cancel button on their femininity, because they are forced to be stuck in their masculinity, which is I gotta do the sucky stuff.
Yeah, and the reason we know that's a masculine trait is because we get off on it. Like, we get energy from it. We feel accomplished when we embrace the suck and do things we don't want to do, especially when we do it in a team environment or we do it side by side. Like, hey, it's 100 degrees. Let's go roof this house. You know, maybe we lost one because he had a heat stroke and fell off the roof. But, hey, we got it done. Like, there's a part of us as men that want to embrace the suck. We want to, and we want to do it for our family, for our ladies. But if you ladies aren't letting us because you've cut off your feminine nature and your feelings because you had to embrace the suck, that's why we're a team. We as men need you ladies to help us come back from embracing the suck. Once we get too deep into that hole, we need you to come back and be like, okay, now you get a little too far gone. We need to come back. Okay, we have feelings. We want you to be a normal human being, not cavemanish all the time. That's why it's a team effort. We have our roles. So I know that's not the most popular thing, and we're probably getting the cancel button hitting right now, especially you, Kirk. I heard the Me Toos and all that. It goes both ways, just shouting out there on the street, shouting. I heard it.
At this point, I don't care. I don't feel like it. But it's the reality. I mean, it's the reality. They literally complain. I mean, you know, the ones that do it, and I'm not generalizing to every woman out there. There are a ton, millions upon millions of great women who embrace their femininity, who realize, I don't want to have to do this stuff. I don't want to have to take out the trash.
Make him do it.
You know, I don't want to have to pump gas. I don't want to have to wash and clean out my car. I don't want to have to mow the lawn. All these different things that, and so they recognize that there's a gift in having a good man in your life for these things that you don't want to do. And then, you know, and then at the same time, recognizing that there's a flip side to, okay, if he's out there doing this kind of stuff, if he's out there, you know, moving, a couple tons of rock in the backyard, maybe I can bring him some Gatorade or some water or whatever. When he gets back in, you know, maybe I can, you know, wear a little something or whatever. I mean, you know, when he's done embracing the suck, maybe he
you know what he was going to say.
Oh, he's about to get a letter.
This is what we're talking about, ladies, about being supportive. Support your man, embracing the suck so you don't have to.
Or maybe. So it's we're about to get a letter from a 3-letter organization, man. We're about to get an email. Better watch where that one's going. But either way, the point is the complaints that I hear from women who I can see are stuck in their masculinity are the complaints from women who don't recognize that they're being forced to do all the things that they really don't want to do, but they don't want to admit that, man, it'd be great to have a good man in my life that can do all the things to embrace the suck. But when you said embrace the suck, that's the first thing I thought about, man. When I think of the old, bitter, just shut down, dark, disgruntled woman. You know, and we all know.
Yeah, they're all over dating apps right now.
We all know that one. And she might even be pretty. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you lift up that hood, man, it's like, ooh. It's like having a brand new sports car. And as soon as you open it up, the inside is full of trash. Mm-hmm. The same exact thing, man. And so, but that, I think that's what that is. Because they really don't want to embrace the suck.
Yeah.
But in reality, us as men and in that masculine journey, we have to embrace the suck.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back from this little break, we're going to talk about effing your feelings in relationships. Y'all will be right back.
Dude, I was about to go way left.
I saw
the words forming in the back of my head, trying to elbow their way to the front.
That's why I did.
I saw them trying to cut line, like, let me out. And I was like, no, man, I had to suppress them bad boys.
That's why I jumped in. I was like, uh-oh.
I was about to say something that was, Tanner would have got in trouble.
Mm-hmm, but all his fault. You're supposed to be controlling us. Oh, by the way, folks, we got a new producer.
Oh, that's right.
Nikki Nicole's new producer. She went on to bigger, better things. Yeah. Now we got Tanner.
Yeah,
we got to get a new name. Yeah, we got to get a name for him.
Superman Tanner. Yeah, we got to come up with a name.
We'll figure something out for you, something that you really don't like, and it'll be perfect.
It'll be fantastic.
All the best nicknames are like that.
No doubt. But yeah, man, I saw, it was about to get real.
Well, it was like when I did that one long F, and it just was right there, and I was like, wait, no, forget.
I was about to say, embrace the suck, and then,
And this is why you tune into YouTube so you can see the behind the scenes, because people on the radio, they don't get none of this.
Unless Tanner makes a huge mistake.
then we'll have a new producer.
Then there'll be another producer next week. And we won't ever hear from Tanner again.
It was nice, but thank you for playing.
But yeah, I was about to go left with the whole embracing and sucking.
Well, let's go right then.
Yeah, let's go right. Let's do that. That'd be better. Yo, we're back.
We're back.
We are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
Yes, we are.
On KLDC.
1220 AM.
In the Mile High City.
And we are here for you.
That's right.
We love you.
That's right.
I mean, we do this anyway, but, you know, we're here to take the smoke and the heat because these are topics we need to talk about. Gentlemen, we're not talking much about all these topics, so guess what? We're just taking the smoke for you.
We do this stuff on the golf course.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we had a pretty good round.
We did it. I almost passed out from blood sugar issues, but other than that, I still finished, though. I embraced the suck, and I finished.
You was trying to skip that ninth hole. And
man.
I was like, come on, dude.
That's my least favorite hole, but I sunk that putt.
You did, man. That was a long putt, too. But yeah, man, feelings, man. You feelings. And as a prime example, you did. Your feelings were saying, let's quit.
Yeah.
Your feelings were saying, let's quit this round of golf and let's pack it up early. Let's you know, after eight, we're going to skip right to nine and head to the parking lot. But nope, you didn't follow your feelings, man. You did. You know,
and it made it it made it that much of a better round because, yeah, when I felt faint and like had my blood sugar went wonky or whatever because too much caffeine or whatever it was. And I'm like, I'm about to fall over. I better correct myself. And then I'm like, I don't feel so good. And my brain is going and my feels are going, quit, go home, you know, take a load off. You're not feeling good. But it's like, no, I'm here with my boys. We got to suck this up. We got to embrace the suck and finish. And then I'm happier. And it was much better to finish than to not.
And a lot of men, I mean, you know, a lot of men, a lot of the weaker minded men, maybe I'm going to say weaker minded men will feel frustrated, like at home, will feel frustrated in a relationship and they'll get, you know, they'll get angry and they'll look at her and they just boil and rage and the feelings are saying, I can't take it no more. And, you know, the lion wants to come out and, you know, Hulk wants to smash. And next thing you know, they're hitting stuff and people and breaking stuff and throwing a temper tantrum and all that because they gave into their feelings and then they end up in handcuffs going away with the popo because you gave into your feelings.
Yeah. And when we look at the statistics of divorce nowadays, one of the reasons we are very adamant about gentlemen knowing what you're getting into before you're getting into it. And ladies, this is why we kind of wanted to have this talk because 80% of divorces nowadays, first-time divorces are filed by women. 90% if you have a college degree, so I don't know what that's about. But what it comes down to is feelings. You don't feel a certain way. But I'm sorry, once you get into a committed relationship and you have a family, F your feelings. It's not about you being happy anymore. It's about you creating a family and a legacy and the future of the world. Who cares how you feel? Your feelings should be about the kids. Your feelings should be about what you're creating. And if you are having issues with your feelings and you want to end this, and then it's time to get support and get help and start learning about what the story is you're telling yourself. Because all of these feelings and all these stories come from something unconscious that you're probably not aware of. And then you take that to mean something. When most of the time, when you come to find out after the fact, once you've already blown up the ship, it wasn't what you thought it was in the first place. But you didn't ask the questions. You didn't get the help to find out what was happening. So your feelings blew up the ship.
And that is that. I mean, that man. That's a beautiful curve segue and all that into just the fact that man, our divorce rate is. You know, people they feel their way into marriage and then they feel their way out of marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we need to balance out our feelings in relationship with some thought process and with some intentionality and some purpose on why we're here. You know, and if you feel like you're at the end of a relationship, then maybe it's time to ask, well, what am I doing as opposed to feeling to contribute into this relationship? You know, I heard a quote talking about how marriage is hard work. And that kind of rubbed me a little bit wrong way the other day. And I'm thinking, well, what if marriage is not so much hard work, but consistent effort? Mm. And maybe that consistent effort is a little less feelings and more doings. Because, you know, when you got into the relationship, both people put in some level of effort or the relationship wouldn't have progressed to especially to the point of getting married. But either way, both people did some stuff that the other person really, you know, blossomed and bloomed. You did some stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, when we get to the end of relationships, we lose sight of the fact that, first of all, maybe it's me doing some stuff that is ruining this relationship, or maybe it's me not doing something that I could do. Maybe it's me not putting in the effort. Maybe I'm leaning too much on my feelings. And it, you know, the statistics are what they are. Yes, by far, by way far, most relationships are ended by the woman, by the female in a relationship. And maybe we've given too much credence in relationship, ladies, to feelings as opposed to effort. What did you do to get it? And are you doing the same things to keep it?
Yeah, the problem is nowadays is there's too many options. Back in the day, it was get together, burn the ships. We're doing this for life. And you'd see these old couples that basically hated each other. They're so sick of each other. They've been around each other for 50 years. But they were in it for the long haul because they in their minds, there was no other options. We are together. We are going to build a family together. We are here together, no matter how we feel, no matter how our emotions are, no matter what we feel like, we're here together to do this. But there's just too many options and too many feelings and too many emotions running relationships nowadays, and it's running them into the ground. So if you want a long, I mean, if you don't want a long-term relationship, then run with your feelings. That's fine, because you'll end up like a lot of ladies we see nowadays, and a lot of guys. I've seen some guys as well. It's like, I messed up. I got into my feels. Like, I made up this story in my head, and I was telling myself the story that it's better over there. The grass is greener. And then went through that whole process of blowing up the ship. And then afterwards realized I was wrong. I had a good thing, but I wasn't willing to work on it because it was going to take work. It was going to be hard work. And I didn't want to put the effort in because I was in my feels. It's time to embrace the suck, man.
And I would almost venture to say that it's perceived options or perceived choices. I tell people all the time, man, if you marry, spend every single dollar you have. Go into debt to save your marriage. Because if your marriage ends, you're going to spend every single dollar you have, and you'll probably go into debt recovering from that divorce. Oh, by the way, you ask anybody that's out here in these streets if it's easy and fun being single as a grown-up, and it ain't. Yeah, you can get on this dating website and that dating website and scroll through and look at all the profiles and, wow, everybody's got their best, you know, picture on the front main screen, and you swipe this, and you can just swipe and swipe and swipe and swipe. But at the same time, if you're ever in that game, you realize it sucks. You talk about embracing the suck. There's no embracing that suck. It just flat out sucks. So I tell people all the time, do whatever you got to do to save your relationship, because it's perceived options. It's perceived choices out here that, oh, I can just go out here and find me somebody else. Really? You're probably older and more run down than you were when you met the person you're with. And,
hey, man, I'm sitting right here.
Hey, man, I'm just saying. And, you know, they say, you know, not many things increase in value with age and usage. Mm-hmm. And you're one of them.
Yeah,
the
ubiquitous you. Yeah, all y'all.
Yeah, universal you. And so guess what? You ain't who you used to be. And you still think you there. You still will be looking for somebody that you should have had a long time ago and all that. But it ain't that way out these streets. And I'm telling you, people got more baggage and more luggage than everything. So I would almost venture to say it's perceived options. But either way, we let our feelings convince us that, man, I can just get rid of this and just move into something else. It ain't that way, people.
Yeah, and that's really the key to the long-term relationships and finding that person and that partner that you build with is embracing the suck together and embracing those times when you're struggling, when you're in their feels and when things aren't working, and working through it together. Each little thing you get through builds on the other thing. And so it's like, okay, well, we got through that. What else can we get through? And so not giving up, not getting in your feels, not, you know, burning the ships because, oh, I'm not excited. He doesn't give me the butterflies anymore, or she's not as whatever. Those little things don't matter. When you're trying to build a house, you got to build, you know, dig that foundation deep. And part of that digging is digging within yourselves and embracing the suck so that you can build on something. You can create a foundation to build on. All of these relationships that we see nowadays are so superficial and shallow. I mean, you talk about dating and, you know, as an adult nowadays, you might as well call it, you know, three bounce. You get 3 days, 3 months, bounce. And it's on to the next thing because nobody wants to invest in and embrace the suck and actually get in a relationship. Like, oh, I already did that. Help, we're getting to that point where it's going to suck now. I'm out. And it's just not as exciting and it's not as impactful and doesn't have the longevity and that long-term goal of, hey, we've been together for 50 years. Good luck with that nowadays.
If you want some excitement, go join the Skinny Dipping Shark Feeding Club. I mean, because it ain't about excitement, but we get so hooked on that, man. We get so hooked on the dopamine of life that it's like, if there's no dopamine in it, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's no endorphins, you know, afterwards, then I don't want it. But in reality, you know, man, we can't live like that, especially as men. And we got to recognize that, you know, as men, you know, quite often we end up living in feminine spaces and feminine worlds. And so we have to be intentional about being the non-feeling driver in the context of relationship with other people, specifically relationship with a woman. We got to be willing to accept the fact that, you know what, man, I got to be the structure here, right? I got to be the one to de-escalate. I got to be the one to calm things down. I got to be the one to say it's going to be all right, even when on the inside I'm freaking out too.
Yeah, you got to be the man who can take the punches, be logical, and be like, look, I know you're in your feels. That didn't make no sense. We're going this way. And let her hate you. Guess what? She'll get over it. But when you're in your feels and you're like, oh, she's mad at me, well, get over it.
If you strive to be a masculine man, you'll probably, the result will probably be being with a feminine woman. And if you're with a feminine energy, a feminine, whatever woman, she's going to be all over the place. She's going to be cloud. She's going to be water. She's going to be the flapping flag, whatever you want to. She's going to be that. If you are this, she's going to be that. And so you got to be willing. That's one of the things that she needs you for, is to be the stability. Because a lot of women will say, well, we get judged for our feelings. Like when we're on our period or whatever, or when we're up and down, you know, people make fun of us, the world, we're not supposed to this and that and whatever, whatever. And so, you know, they have their perception of what it's like for them to have feelings, and they know it's chaos. Femininity is chaos. It is. I mean, it's femininity is, so it is chaos. And if a woman is really in touch with her feminine spirit, she will recognize and acknowledge the fact that, man, it is chaotic because I'm up, I'm down, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that, I feel this, I feel that. That's hard for me to keep a straight train of thought and all this other kind of stuff. And this day I think about the kids, I think about work, I can't get home. It's hard for me to be intimate because while we're intimate, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm hot flashing, I'm not, you know, hot flash. And then next thing you know, 3 seconds later from the hot flash, I'm freezing cold. I mean, it is absolute chaos being feminine. And so us as masculine men, we got to be willing, especially in the area of relationship, to be that stability and to be the one, like I say, even if you freak it, even if you don't have an answer, man, you better just bite that lip and just say, I believe it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be all right.
Period.
As long as you have your feelings. Forget your feelings.
Got that right. And I know it's going to be all right right now.
Is it?
Yeah, let's take a last all right break.
All right.
All right, all right. Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC, 1220 AM. We'll be right back. Oh, we're at 13 minutes.
Boom. Check you out.
Microphone check off. 1, 2, rock off. Boom. Dude, femininity is chaos, man. And the more I observe it, you know, the more I'm just like.
Well, and that's the thing, is like all men want a feminine woman
until you get a feminine woman. And then you're like, bruh, like, man.
That's why you got to embrace the suck, man.
You know, you do, because it does sometimes, man, because sometimes you just like, can we just have like a day where everything is okay?
Yeah.
Like, can we just,
do you have to go downstairs every 5 minutes with like, a new thing?
I mean, there are days like, not every day, but there are days like that, where it's like that. And so, yeah, femininity is chaos. And any woman that finds herself in feminine spaces will acknowledge the fact that, yeah, there's not a lot of stability in the space of femininity, man. It is cloud. It's shapeless. Yeah. It's formless.
And that's why, as guys, you got to embrace the second and F your feelings, because if you're in your feelings and she's in her feelings, then there's nobody driving the ship.
Right.
We should probably talk about this on air.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Boom.
And we're back.
Yep.
For the last round. It's the fourth quarter, baby. Yep. Last drive.
See, we have these conversations on the breaks here, and that's why we stream on YouTube and Facebook, because we get off on these tangents, man.
And sometimes I need to be on air.
Now you're like, man, we need to have this on the air. And so rewind the clock.
Femininity
is chaos, man. It just is. And femininity is feeling. And it's not inherently bad. It just is what it is. And so as a man, we got to be willing to step outside of that chaos and to be, you know, next to it, to be in it maybe, but not have it in us. We got to be willing to be, you know, when you do whitewater rafting, you know, the rapids are the crazy part. But you know what's underneath those rapids? Boulders. That's what creates rapids. The boulders are like stuck right in the middle of the river, and sometimes there's several of them, and it creates the rapids. So what we see on the surface is chaos, but beneath the surface, there's actually structure. And so it's pretty good. And so we as men got to be willing to be the structure underneath the chaos of the rapids. And we got to be willing to be the one in the moment to just be like, I don't have the answer right now, but I believe it's going to be all right. And I believe if we do this together, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, you know how it is. The rapid is the fun part. That's why you go down the river. It's for the adventure in the rapids. And, you know, every man says he wants to have a feminine woman until he has a feminine woman. And he's not willing to embrace the suck because he's stuck in his feels. It's like, look, a feminine woman is going to have feels. She's going to be all over the place. And it's your job to be the man and embrace the suck and be the stability. You got to be able to look her in the face and go, I don't know what's going on, but I got you. I don't know where you're going or where your head's at. I got you. We're like, I don't agree with what's going on right here, but we're going that way. You got to be able to be the one who doesn't get stuck in the fields. That's her job.
And you won't be appreciated for that. No. You won't be appreciated for being the stability.
Every woman tests every man to see if he is going to fold. And that's what she's checking on. It's like, is he going to fold when I get in my fields? Well, if he doesn't fold, if he holds, you know, a strong backbone and a strong frame, that's what she's really looking for. Whether she even knows it consciously or not, she may say, oh, show me your feelings. I want you in your feels. Maybe sometimes, but 99% of the time, she wants you to be the structure that she can rely on. The rock.
Sometimes I watch a show called Married at First Sight.
Oh, God.
And literally is.
Why?
God, man. You would enjoy it. Here's why you would enjoy it. Because I sit there and I get to analyze, like, I get to see the dynamic play out, and I get to see, like, oh, see, she's thinking this and she's thinking that, and I'm like, man, they should have me on the show, dude. I would be like, yo.
You'd be like, play-by-play analysis.
I mean, just sitting down with the couples, and because they have these experts, and the experts will come in, and, you know, these people meet basically at the altar. They get these, quote-unquote, experts to pick, and they meet at the altar, and they get married, which, I don't know, it kind of makes marriage a game, but whatever, experiment. But,
well, you know what's really weird about that? You know all the arranged marriages, like the Indian arranged marriages and stuff? They last forever.
Right. And so they have these experts, right? And like I said, you would enjoy it because you get the armchair quarterback and you get to see, especially the type of guy you are.
I'm pretty good at armchair quarterback. Right. I can tell you what's wrong
just,
real quick.
But just you can see the dynamic playing out. I say all that to say there's this one couple where – you know, the wife, you know, her father had passed away. And so she had, you can tell she has these kind of, you know, deep seated issues about that and lack of stability and all these other kind of things. And then they put her with a guy who was a few years younger than her. And I could tell, like, she wants structure.
She wants
masculine structure because she had that and she lost. And apparently her dad was a good man and she had that and she lost it. And sometimes, unfortunately, the guy that they paired her with, you know, there's this one scene where they're at the dining table and, you know, the relationship is kind of tough and going bad and she's kind of hot tempered sometimes. And he was just sitting there kind of having a meltdown and he was just, you know, crying. And he was just like, and it wasn't so much that he was crying about the toughness of it all, but in his crying, he was like, I don't know what to do. And I don't know if I can do this and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there and the wife was just sitting next to him. Like, all of a sudden, she flipped the script and started consoling him, and she became the parent. She became the structure. And I was sitting there thinking, she is losing respect for him right now.
Immediately.
She is seeing him right now as a man that she cannot depend on, that she cannot rely on for structure and stability, because not only is he emotional, which is not inherently bad, but he's emotional in his feels, and in that emotion, he's questioning himself and his ability and he's caught up in his fields, but I could see that she was losing respect for him in that moment.
And that's why we say, gentlemen, time and place. F your fields until you're in the right time, right place. When you got a counselor, when you got your boys around you, go out in the truck, go out in your car and let it out. But don't keep, you know, there are very few women nowadays. There are some, and I've seen a few, but even them, I think at some core level, still start to disrespect their man a little bit if it becomes a habit. If it's your mom's dying and you're at the altar and you're breaking down or whatever, she can probably accept that more. But for all the other daily in your field stuff, that's when you need counselors, you need therapists, you need your boys, because you want to keep that out the house. You want to make sure you're effing your fields and be in the structure and embracing the suck so that you can be the rock. Every woman wants her man to be the rock. And that means embrace the suck, eff your fields, and be the one there to hold her down. And you want her to be supportive. You want her to have your back and to be the one that helps you build your empire. She needs you to be that guy.
I think that's a perfect, actually a perfect segue to the notion that we as men need other men in our lives.
Absolutely.
We need other men to help us be structured, to offload some of that feeling get into our thinking, get into our structure, get into our purpose, get into all those kinds of things. You need time with other men, whether that's on a golf course, highly recommended.
Yes.
Or at, you know, someplace healthy with a men's group, something like some kind of small group, some kind of outing, a team sport. I don't know. Something where you spend time with other men and you can get that out. Because even in the example that I was talking about on that show, you know, that is something that he would have been better served to do around the other guys who were going through the same thing, because they're all going through similar things as well, questioning this and that. And so there's some things that you want to play out, you want to release or let go of in front of other guys, not necessarily the woman in your life, because for her, she needs that one thing. She needs that structure. And when you're not able to be that, again, that picture doesn't go away. That picture doesn't go away. When she begins to lose that respect and is chipped away and chipped away, it's really hard to rebuild that respect. And so when you get caught in those feelings, man, it's not a great place to be relationally. And that's why it's a great place to be around other men, where you can express those feelings and not have the long term, what almost feels like judgment that you get when you have those feelings around a woman.
Yeah, if you're in a good relationship with a good woman, she's going to know you're going to have feelings, you're going to get in your feels, and you're going to process that, and you have your way of processing it. And the way that we as men need to be processing that is leaving her, going to our car, getting on the phone, calling our boys, calling our therapist, whoever it is that you unload on, that you process with, and process it with them, not her. Because when we put her in the position of being the structure, then we become her child. She's like, okay, well, I got to parent this dude. So then she loses all respect for us. And then you wonder why these, you know, relationships go downhill. And all of a sudden, most guys, she'll say it's fine and he believes her. And then she's already making plans. And then a year or so later, all of a sudden, she blindsided me. Man, you should have known from the moment you did that, that she had lost respect because she had to take over structure. Now, granted, in a healthy relationship, we go back and forth. There's going to be times where she has to be the structure. But it should be the exception, not the rule. We as men need to be the structure. And there's a lot of ladies that are going to hate that statement, but look at how your life's going, that you have to be the structure and be the man, and you're miserable.
Yeah. We don't really care if you don't like that statement. It's true. It's fact. And you know it's fact too. When you
That's why you're mad.
When you got it, yeah, it is, because you know it's true. When you got to be the structure for your man, you resent him at some point. You just, I've been in most of the relationships I've been in, the relationships with other women that I've been in, whether it be, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, or husband, wife, whatever, in my life in the past, you know, quite often I found myself being in that subordinate, in that not the parent, but more the child role. And I can tell you without equivocation, if that's even a word, I went to public school, I don't know. But the respect would go away. And there are some people in the very, really heavy red pill space that will say, I never cry. I don't ever cry in front of my woman. I would never cry in front of a woman. And I'm thinking, if something happened to somebody very close to me and I cry in front of the woman in my life, and if she can't handle that, then she's the wrong woman. I get to a degree with that, what those people say in terms of the day-to-day struggles of life. The day-to-day struggles of my waistline, my wallet, and my wife. Those kind of things, the day-to-day stuff, yeah, I shouldn't be bringing those to her in my feeling space. I should be bringing those to her. I should be bringing those things home in my thinking space, in my masculine space. And so I get those people that go way out there with that, but at the same time, it's like the truth is, and reality is, when us as men spend a whole lot of time in the feelings part, not emotion. Emotion is not necessarily bad. But in the feelings, but when we let our feelings dictate us, then they grow to resent us and they grow to disrespect us. And that is very hard, if not impossible, to get back.
Yeah. What I've seen a lot nowadays is, ladies, you've trained a lot of men who are kind of beta male, nice guys, and they have learned how to manipulate with their emotions. When they get emotional, they may be manipulating you or trying to manipulate you. Most genuine men, the reason we don't emote as much and we try to do that away, is that when we do within, you know, that relationship, it's usually like, I can't not, you know, when there's a death or there's some huge emotion, like on the altar or something like that, I can't not show this emotion. And that should show you his love. That should show you that. But if he's just doing it all the time, he may just be trying to manipulate you. And that may be another topic for another day.
Yeah.
But on that note.
But a lot of us were raised by women, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of us have picked up these feminine traits because we were raised by women. Not even a lot of us. Most of us were primarily raised by women. And so we picked up a lot of these things in the maturation, which is also why I think don't ever, ever, ever kick your kid's father out of their life. And if there's a breakdown in that relationship, you try to do whatever you can to make sure the father stays in the kid's life outside of any kind of outright abuse, criminal, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. Because the man's role in a kid's lives are important for a lot of different reasons. But most of us were raised by women, so we pick up these feminine traits. And now, as men, with women in our lives, it's hard for a lot of us to get out of that space. But, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, the statistics don't lie. A single father or a, you know, man in the home makes the children more successful. You know, and I'm sorry, ladies, it's just not a good look. You know, the statistics are bad on your side when it comes to being a single mom raising your kids. I mean, I'm not going to dig into that, but.
But even if you get a divorce, I mean,
yeah.
You had a problem with him, but that doesn't mean, the kids should have
And stop right. using your kids as ammunition and weapons against
the husband. Dad, you're talking about a whole nother man.
Ooh, don't let me,
I'll sit.
We're going to be effing all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be real effing your feelings. But I mean, these are the kind of things that as men, again, we can have emotions. But we can't live in our feelings. We can't let our feelings dictate what we do and who we are. We can't let our feelings control us. We can't let our feelings be behind the wheel of the car. They can be a passenger, maybe in the back seat. Maybe we can put them in one of them cases on top of the car. I don't know. But we can't let the feelings dictate who we are and what we do. It's just not a good look.
Yeah, and if they are, it's time for you to get around other guys, and you got to let that out. You got to get those emotions out. You get all the stuff you've been stuffing. Get it out. So that you can get a handle on it and then use it for something beneficial. If you're not consciously using it for something beneficial, it's running your life negatively. And it's taking away all the power and all the things that you were trying to create as a man.
So, hey, holler at your boys. Yes, you know, like, subscribe, comment. Do you agree?
Hate us.
Do you like? Agree? Do you disagree? Are we crazy? Are we stupid? Are we ugly? Should we be canceled?
Yeah.
Let us know. We love to know that.
We haven't had enough cancel threats yet. So y'all need to get on it.
Yeah, somebody threaten us. Come on. We want that. Anyhow, we love y'all. We appreciate the Mad Men Mafia, and we look forward to talking to you next time. And with that,
Mad Men out.